produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Acts chapter 9, verse 36. When you find them, you say, amen. You got to try to say, hold on. Before going to bed, say, hold on. That's all right. And babies did say, verse number 36 from the New International Version, it reads like this. In Joppa, there was a disciple named Tabitha. In Greek, her name is Dorcas. She was always doing good and helping the poor. About that time, she became sick and died, and her body was washed and placed in an upstairs room. Lydda was near Joppa, so when the disciples heard that Peter was in Lydda, they sent two men to him and urged him, please come at once. Peter went with them, and when he arrived, he was taken upstairs to the room. All the widows stood around him crying and showing him the robes and other clothing that Dorcas had made while she was still with them. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, you mean the world to me. Y'all may be seated. Amen. Thank you, Tony Braxton. And Babyface. Look at this book of Acts. Is a book that deals with the church and the rise of and what's interesting is that the church that was started, that began in the inauguration of the church with the day of Pentecost, was not just a church that was full of 12 men, but instead it was a church that included women. The problem that I think so many of us have is that we don't understand church history. We read one verse in the Bible where it speaks about women ought to be silent.
Right.
And we take that verse and we make it that women are not to say anything in church. They ought to preach. But if you actually do church history, and along with that verse, you will find that Paul was not saying that women did not have a voice in church, because that would go against who he is as a minister of the gospel. Because Paul had missionary journeys with women. Paul believed that women should be able to use their voices to be able to spread the gospel of Jesus. It's the reason why you read in Romans, he has the greeting there with a woman by the name of Rhoda, who he considers a deaconess. He's writing. He deals with Priscilla and Aquila. Notice that Priscilla's names come before Aquila, and their husband and wife team that are going around the country, going around the world, being able to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so Paul is also the same one who wrote, there is neither slave nor free, male nor female, Jew nor Greek, for we all are one in Christ Jesus. The one particular verse that everyone lifts up to be able to silence women in church was dealing with an issue of that there were women who wanted to have questions answered, but they wanted to be able to ask their husbands, and they became interrupting during service. It had to deal with an issue, not a gender.
Amen.
So what happens is, you do church history, you find that the church could not be the church if it were not for the women. Amen. Read in the book of Acts, you will find that there are women who are there as the cornerstone of churches. You find in Acts chapter 16 when Paul goes and does his European missionary journey, the first European convert is a woman by the name of Lydia. And it's at her house that they have church. My brothers and my sisters, you will find throughout in this book of Acts that there are mentions of women who are there and playing a role in the development of the church. They are there. They are central to the ministry of Jesus. They are central to the life and being able to get the gospel message out. What are you trying to say? Is that God does not look at gender when it comes to the gospel. It does not matter if you're male, female, child. It doesn't matter if you've got the greatest intelligence. It doesn't matter if you're slow of speech. It doesn't matter if you've been to school, if you've not been to school. That this message, this good news of Jesus cannot be confined and contained to one particular gender. That it's going to take all of us to get the world saved. It's going to take all of us to get the message out. And God does not have time to look to see how you are anatomically structured to be able to get the message that he lives, he rules, and he reigns. Amen. So on this Women's History Month, the reason why I love the book of Acts, because it shows us here in black and white that women are needed to further the gospel, that women are needed to do the work of God. Not to work behind men, but to work alongside of men. And I love it, my brothers and my sisters. In this book of Acts, we have here a story dealing with one by the name of Dorcas. Dorcas is an interesting person for us today. Because one thing that disturbs me is whenever we have women and we're talking about women, that they don't have a voice. The thing that I love about Dorcas is that even though she does not speak, even though she does not talk, her actions do the talking for her. She may not say a word, but the works that she done and she has done and she does speaks for her. My brothers and my sisters, let me hurry up and help somebody out real quick. Is that my brothers and my sisters, there's a whole lot of people who can do a whole lot of talking. People talk a good game. People can say a whole lot of stuff, but the way you judge somebody is that you don't judge them by what they say. Judge them by what they do. Christians should not be judged by our confession, because anybody can get up here and say something, but the hardest thing to do is to die daily to who you were. The hardest thing to do is to love somebody who mistreats you. The hardest thing to do is to pray for somebody that you know you want to cuss out. The hardest thing to do is to have patience with people who are impatient with you. The hardest thing to do is to love people and you know they don't mean you any good. That's the reason why I like what it says. Let the works that I've done speak for me. Long after I'm gone, I pray that the work that I've done will keep on speaking for me. Oh, my brothers and my sisters, there ought to be a whole lot of you in here today is to be able to say that I want what I have done, what I have sown into people, what I have given to people. I want that to be speaking long after you and put me in the grave, long after we have said ashes to ashes, earth to earth, ash to ash, dust to dust, that people still will be ringing your name and still saying how you taught them in Sunday school, still saying how you gave them a dollar, still saying how you fed them, still saying how you prayed for them, still saying how you were able to sing that song with such anointing and such power, that I don't need you to be talking about all this other stuff, but let That's Dorcas. And I love it too, that her name means gazelle. Why? Because gazelles, first of all, are represented, whenever you see a gazelle in the Arabic culture, in an ancient Near East, it was symbolizing a female beauty. So this lets me know, not only is she a beautiful person on the inside, but she's a beautiful person on the outside. But can I help somebody real quick? Is that it means nothing, my brothers and my sisters, if you look good on the outside,
amen,
but you a trash can on the inside.
Amen.
My grandmama had a quote, she used to always say this to my sister, beauty is as beauty does. Which means, it means absolutely nothing if you're looking good, but yet you're a messed up person. And unfortunately, in our social media age, it's all about image. It's all about how you look. But yet, when you actually get to know the person, you find out that they are dressed up clown. Hello, somebody. This don't just go for me and looking at women. No, no, women, this go for y'all too. With some of the brothers, you want them to look good and have his hair cut. And you want them to have waves and you want them to be nice and stocky and you want his beard to be cut. You want them to look trim and you want them to look fit, but yet he ain't fit to take you nowhere. That's because we have confused ourselves. When in actuality is that we ought to be thinking like how God does, that God looks beyond what he can see, and God looks at the heart of the person. You can give a man a wave cap. You can take him to the gym. You can take him to go to his nails cut. But you can't teach him how to treat you right.
Amen.
Yeah, he may be gravitationally challenged, but big and great things come in small packages. God looks at the heart of a person. So our challenge today is for us to be able to look beyond what our eyes can see and instead what our hearts feel. So here's Dorcas. Not only is she a gazelle, it means to talk about her beauty, but the gazelle is an animal that has a way of topping out and running at 60 kilometers per hour. 60 miles per hour. That means the gazelle can run fast, very fast. But at the same time it can run fast, it can also run at a consistent speed. But one thing I learned is that eventually, even a gazelle will get tired. Even an animal that's made to run will get worn out. And my brothers and my sisters, that's what's happened to the gazelle in the text, is that she's been running and working for the Lord. And she runs out. She has run on empty. Bible doesn't say how she got sick. Bible doesn't say what happened is that they said she was doing good, she got sick, and she died. And one thing I can tell you is that when you're doing the work of the Lord, sometimes the situation and sometimes you will find yourself getting exhausted.
Amen. Amen.
Especially when you're dealing with us. It's hard to keep working for the Lord and doing nice things for people constantly, and folks don't even tell you thank you. It's hard to keep working and doing things when you feel like you're doing it by yourself, when you feel like nobody else is around you, because ministry can be a lonely road. I can imagine in my own mind that Dorcas has been working for these widows. She's been doing the work of the Lord. She's been doing all of these to take you a rest. Maybe you need to sit down somewhere. Rest is holy, that even God rested on the seventh day. Because don't you know that here in our country that we have an adversarial relationship with rest? We think the less rest we get, the more hustle and the more work we can get done. But instead, we don't even realize that everywhere else around the world, they're teaching people that rest is right, that you're supposed to rest even when you're on the job. Instead, we here in this country, we teach people and we tell them the philosophy that I'm going to rest when I'm dead. But can I help somebody real quick? Somebody who don't like rest? Let me tell you something. Keep on going. Keep on doing what you're doing. And I guarantee you, as soon as they bring your body in here, we take your body to New Park, wherever we take you, as soon as you're in the ground, they're going to have somebody else doing your job the next day. Even me! I got a day! Y'all going to put a black sheet over the chair. You're going to grieve. Pray you do it only 30 days. After those 30 days up, guess what you're doing? Give you a pulpit committee together. Who's going to be the next pastor. And guess what? I'm dead and gone. And guess what? The church still goes on. But yet, I'm leaving my family. I'm leaving the company, I'm leaving my friends, I'm leaving everybody without my presence because I didn't want to take any risks. Before you mean something to the world, mean something to yourself. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, you matter, so you better rest. So she wears it. She died. And the Bible says that one thing that we notice too about her is that she's got the title of a deacon. Got the title of a disciple, excuse me. Now, what's interesting is she's the only woman in the New Testament named a disciple. And what's so interesting too is that I said deacon is because she's doing the work of a deacon. What you mean, Reverend? She's taking care of the widows. She's making sure that they have what they need. She's giving money to the poor. She's doing the work of somebody without a title. Who can I help somebody? Now, my brothers and my sisters, it's too much work to be done for you to wait to get a title. We don't work for titles. We work because the work needs to get done. And I know it's Women's Month, so let me tell you, don't let your gender think that it's going to stop you from doing the work of the Lord. Guess what? Your pastor is telling you, if it's somebody who's there in your neighborhood that's a member or somebody you know that needs to be checked on, don't wait on the deacons to do it. You do it. That's the deacon's job. That's your job. Why? Why do you say that, Reverend? Because guess what? The Lord would have never brought you two together if he didn't expect you to be able to help somebody who lived in proximity to you. That's ridiculous that you got to wait on somebody else to do it when you know that God is giving you the ability, God is giving you proximity, God is giving you the connection. Well, guess what? Maybe you need to just go ahead and join yourself. Can I go ahead and just do this real quick? Let me just commission everybody here to be able to check on every other member. Don't wait on somebody else to do it. Go ahead and do it. But here it is. Guess what? All of us are brothers and sisters, and I don't know about you. I talk to my sister every single week, and so if we're brothers and sisters, check on your brother or your sister. I commission y'all. Everybody in the commission. Here's the door. And the Bible says she gets sick. And they hear that Peter is close. Now, the thing is, they don't go and get Peter because of what Peter can do. They go and get Peter because of what God is doing through Peter. Let me say it one more time. They don't go and get Peter because of what Peter is doing. They go and get Peter because of what God is doing through Peter. trying to say is that, my brothers and my sisters, sometimes you can think it's all about you, but I'm here to let you know that if it had not been for God who's working through you, you would have never been able to make it. You would have never been able to have what you have. It's because God has put his hands on you. And don't you ever forget that God's hands are the ones that lift you up. God's hands are the ones that keep you. God's hands are the ones that provide and protect for you, that you can't make it on your own. Am I talking to myself in here? Am I talking to anybody else that thanks God that the Lord's hands are on you? They give you patience when you need them. They give you understanding when you need them. They give you love when you need them. They give you joy when you need them. They give you hope when you need them. They give you strength when you need them. Am I talking to myself in here? Or am I talking to somebody who knows and can thank God that the Lord empowers you? He'll keep you. He'll hold you. He'll console you. He'll comfort. He'll give you what you need in order to make. We're not going to get Peter because of Peter. We're going to get Peter because of the God that's working through Peter. Go get it. Send two men to go get him. And I love what they do. Normally, after you wash somebody, suppose to go ahead and bury them. Jewish, get them in the ground. But I love that these people had hope. They didn't put it in the ground yet. Because they believe that God could turn it around. Oh, can I pop right there real quick? Is that, my brothers and my sisters, some of us give up too quick. Because we think it's the end. You think you can't go any further, but can I help somebody real quick? Is that, my brothers and my sisters, don't give up on God that quick. Sometimes you just got to prepare yourself for what he's getting ready to do. Sometimes you just got to take your hand off. Sometimes you just got to set yourself up for him to move in and to take control. Yes, they washed her body. It seemed like they were trying to prepare her for burial, but what they were doing is they were preparing her for Peter's arrival. They were preparing her for what God was getting ready to do in her life. Here she is, Bible says. Peter gets there. And when he gets there, it's widows who are there in the room who are crying. And then they show him all the stuff she's done for them. Look what she did for me. Look what she made for me. And y'all got to understand something. That for these widows, this means the world. Because a widow, when she loses, when a husband dies, when a woman's husband dies, she becomes a widow. She becomes dependent upon the kindness and the gestures of others. Because women during this time did not have any other means of income if they were married to a man. They were depending upon the man to be able to help take care of them. They were depending upon the man to be the provider. And so here it is, Dorcas, what she does is that she has been taking care of them. She has been loving on them when other people weren't doing it. And so here it is, they're telling Peter, you don't understand how much she means to us. You don't understand what she has done for us. But thing that disturbed me, Mr. Fonda, because this blessed my life, and I hope it blessed y'all too, is that they show Peter the tunics, but she's dead. And this really disturbed me. I pray y'all hear me when I say this, is that don't wait till somebody dies to tell them how much you appreciate them. One thing that I have learned, having gone through this process, is to always make sure you let the person know why they're living, how much they mean to your life. Don't wait till they die to give them their flowers. Don't wait till we get to the funeral and you want to be on program. Because what you're saying to the family is not what you're saying to the person. Can I say that one more time? Is that, my brothers and my sisters, I don't need you to tell me after I'm dead and gone how wonderfully blessed you were by a sermon I preached. If it was a blessing to you, tell me now. If somebody's done something good for you, don't wait praying to their God. And next thing you know, you're falling over in the casket and crying. I can't believe she gone. I didn't get a chance to tell her. Yes, you did get a chance. You just didn't take the chance. And now you want to sit up here and act a fool and sit up here and act all with guilt and feeling ashamed of what you've done? Sit down somewhere and maybe you can learn to live and do somebody else better than what you did here. That a lot of times, that here it is, my brothers and my sisters, the pain that you feel, deciding yourself, I'm never going to feel like this again. I'm going to make sure that my loved ones know I love them. I'm going to make sure my loved ones know how much I appreciate them. I'm going to show my loved ones what they have done for me. I'm here today to let somebody know. Let somebody know how much you mean to them. Let them know how much you love them. Don't leave here today without calling somebody and telling them how much they have sown into you, how much they have given you, how much time they have put into you. Let somebody know how much you love them. So they crumb. Peter says, y'all get out. And I said, okay, he's doing exactly what Jesus would have done. Puts them out. But then I realized too that when you're about to do something and God is getting ready to do something in your life, and sometimes you can't have a whole lot of people around. Come on. Hello, somebody. Sometimes in life you can't have a whole bunch of people around you. What do you mean, Reverend? Is it because, my brothers and my sisters, that not everybody has the best intention? Some people just notice it. Some folks just want to see what God's going to do for you. Sometimes when the Lord wants to do stuff for you, he's got to surround you. And sometimes he's got to put almost like a cocoon around you. Because he knows the way he's about to bless you is going to blow everybody away. It's going to make friends enemies. It's going to make families into foes. It's going to turn some people's noses up at you. Because they're going to try and figure out, we came from the same place, did the same thing, smoked the same thing, drank the same thing, ran with the same gang. But how is it that God has elevated you and he hadn't done the same thing for me? Yeah, the same folk that used to be with you, same people that used to love and kick it with you, now all of a sudden you will find that they will be few and far in between. Because not everybody has the best intention. Is it? We can go. I told y'all. I love what Peter does. Peter looks at the situation. And he says, I understand she means so much to you. I understand that the only way you've experienced the love of God is through her. And so what I'm going to do is that when I get situations like this, when I get in a situation that looks like there is no help, when I get in a situation where it looks like the situation has gotten out of control, Peter, what do you do? And the question I ask for you is that what do you do when the situation has moved beyond your control? What do you do when the one who looks like they mean so much to you have gone astray? What do you do when it seems like help is far away? Is that Peter said, I know what to do. Is that I'm going to do what Jesus did. And that's all I came here to let somebody know in here, is that my brothers and my sisters, is that what do you do when you find yourself in situations like this? Is that you've got to do what Jesus did. And y'all still looking at me and saying, Reverend, what did Jesus do? Well, let me take you back into the gospel. Is that there was a ruler of the synagogue by the name of Jairus who had a daughter who fell sick Jesus, what he does is that he kicks everybody else out of the room. He kicks all of the hired mourners out the room. He kicks all of the crybabies out the room. He kicks all of the nosy folk out the room. And what does he do is that he only keeps Peter, James, and John in the room. And the only reason why he keeps them in the room, I believe, is because he says, sooner or later, you're going to run into a situation that looks just like this. And you're going to need to know what to do if you run into a situation just like this. And the reason why I say it's very similar is because here it is. What Jesus said to the girl who's been laying in the bed is that he simply says, Talitha Kum, which means maiden, arise. And it's interesting. He said, Talitha Kum, and this woman's name is Tabitha. So you see that there's some interesting correlation between just the name and what he said. And what did Jesus do is that all he told her was just get up from the bed. And so what happens is that Peter says, I remember a similar situation just like this, that Jesus looked at a young girl and just told her, get up. And so now it's my time that I'm dealing with a similar situation where a woman means the world to some people. And so now what do I got to do is that I'm just going to say the same words that Jesus said. All he told her was, daughter, get up. Get up from the bed that you're on. And my brothers and my sisters, I've come today to let somebody know that if you want God to do something new in your life, if you want God to get you through what you're going through, you just got to do what Jesus did. If you're dealing with demons, you got to do what Jesus did. Jesus called the demons out and sent them back to where they come from. You want Jesus to do for you. If you got a food shortage, you ought to do what Jesus did. Just look up towards heaven. Give thanks unto the Lord. And do I have a witness in here that can say that when you give thanks, the Lord will keep on giving to you? Ought to have a witness in here that can not to me. They can say, I'm a living witness that if you give thanks unto him, he will provide. If you run short on trying to pay a bill, just do what Jesus did. Jesus told Peter when he couldn't pay the taxes, go down and fish and you'll find what you need. Am I talking to anybody in here that's ever run short on a few dollars and lo and behold, you went fishing in your house, wasn't expecting to find nothing, but found a 20. Rolled up in your drawer. Don't know how it got there, but because you went fishing, you found what you need. Good God from on high, I'm out of here. Then is there anybody that's ever had to deal with a headache before? Had to deal with an eye problem? And lo and behold, you put your hands on your ointment. You put your hands on your ailment. Looked up towards heaven. Say, Lord, have mercy. And lo and behold, pain left your body. Sickness left your body. Am I talking to anybody that knows? Just do what Jesus did. What else did Jesus do? I'm glad you asked. Is that guess what? There were some people who meant the world to Jesus. What did Jesus do? He died for those people. Y'all still looking at me. Can I turn a mirror onto yourself? And then guess what? You were sick, deep in sin. And what did Jesus do? He died for you and gave you another right to the tree of life. But early Sunday morning, he got up. And because he got up, you can get up. That's all I got to tell you, is that my brothers and my sisters, keep on getting up, because he got up. Keep on believing. Keep on praying. Jesus, he kept praying. Yeah.
produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.